Welcome to Checkpoint by Finance Middle East. My name is Beatriz Valero, and today I'm joined by Rudy Kami, Managing Director of Universal Banking in Middle East and Africa at Finastra. Thank you for joining us, Rudy. It's been great to have you.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Excited.
Great. So the main topic we'll be covering today is core banking transformation, mm-hmm. which is a very big subject.
Absolutely, yeah. One to go for.
For sure. But maybe to start, obviously in recent years, there's been a lot of transformation in the sector, a lot of innovations. So can you just talk a little bit about how some of these technological innovations are helping banks offer some more personalized services mm-hmm. and meet customer demand?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting topic. And you know, we're going to be talking a lot about finance today, but what's really driving it, at least what we see, is how much technology has changed our everyday life, right? And we can all relate to it. So whether it's how we consume our media through streaming services like Netflix, listening to music or podcasts on Spotify, everything now has become digitally delivered. And also more and more, it's becoming tailored services, right? These services are learning what we like, what we dislike, trying to recommend the content that they think is, you know, going to resonate the most with us. So I think there's this overall trend where services are becoming digital and they're becoming really personalized. And, you know, we have two factors here in the region where we have a really young demographic, right? So the Middle East has a very young population under 30. And at the same time, we have all this technology adoption. So really high smartphone penetration rates, things like payments within finance. You know, if you look at the UAE in 2023, non-cash payments were, I think, 73% of total transactions. And that was up from 39% back in 2018. So this adoption of digital services has gone sky high. And I think that's driving a change in the needs of the consumer, especially when it comes to finance. You know, we all expect the same kind of seamless interaction when we're working with a bank as when we're using Netflix or we're ordering some food from Deliveroo. So technology, when it comes to banking, is really trying to bridge the gap between what has traditionally been not such a digital first industry to meeting that expectation of the consumer. And that's involved a lot of transformation, a lot of change in order to improve the user experience for the customer and figure out how can the technology and the tools really deliver that personalized service so that we're not treating our customers mm-hmm. all the same.
Of course, yeah. It seems like every company kind of has to become a technological company.
Yeah, it's amazing because I found more and more, especially when you go to conferences and events, it's the same topics, even if it's a different industry. So everyone's talking about digitalizations and transformations and user experience. And it's exactly like you said, because I think, you know, everyone is now a technology company. It doesn't really matter what industry you're in.
Great. It's definitely mm-hmm. a good moment to be in the technological sector.
Yep.
So coming to banks, you mentioned how financial institutions have traditionally been perceived as maybe slower mm-hmm. to change, obviously because of understandable reasons. But what are some of the main challenges that you see banks facing when trying to implement these innovations?
Sure. So I think one part is the technology itself. So banks, many banks have been around for a long time. Obviously, we have new banks that are entering the market that don't have these challenges. But for those that have been here for 10, 20, 30 years, there's a legacy there in technology, right? And the pace of change in technology is so fast now that systems and platforms that were put in 20, 30 years ago are like completely not, you know, fit for purpose to deal with all the stuff that we're just talking about. So change becomes hard, you know, adapting, doing things quickly on older technology platforms becomes more difficult. So I think for those types of institutions, a big part of it is moving on to more modern and open technology platforms so that they can take advantage of some of the opportunities that are being presented by this change. And that's not always, you know, an easy process, depending on the level of complexity, the number of systems, the history, the different technologies that have been meshed together, you know, over 20, 30 years. Untangling that can be a challenge and can take some time.
Yes, of course. Obviously, there's so many technologies to speak mm-hmm. about. For you, what are some of the ones that you think are more exciting for financial institutions?
There's quite a few going on and there's quite a few buzzwords. You know, as Finastra, where we focus a lot on the core banking space. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because that's the platform that a lot of these technologies and use cases hangs mm-hmm. off of. So when we're working with our customers on Fusion Essence, the main driver is that, you know, this is an open platform where we talk about being cloud ready, having the APIs and the openness so that you can integrate with a lot of innovation that's happening definitely outside of Finastra and just, you know, the fintech scene in general. So those are things like, my view, data analytics is mm-hmm. a huge area. Banks have so much information about their customers, but they don't always show that they know they have this data. Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever had this, but I've had my bank, I won't name and shame them, you know, offering me a product that I already had, you know, a credit card or something, right? And, you know, you get an email like that from a marketing campaign and you say, you know, these guys obviously, you know, they're not using the information they have to offer me something tailored.
Yeah, so they ask this for the same information over and over.
Exactly. So I think data analytics has a huge promise in really understanding customers so that you can really position the right products, the right services. I think it'd be difficult to do a podcast now without talking about AI. Everybody's talking about AI. It's going to change everything. And I think there's a bit of hype, but there's also a lot of truth to it. I mean, we used to talk about machine learning before AI, which is kind of part of the same theme. And I do see the impact of that. From a machine learning perspective, if you think about the data, you can start doing predictive analytics where we say, how likely is a customer to leave us? Because we can start analyzing, you know, how their transactions are. Have they stopped using their accounts and their cards? Have they not opened a new product in so long? Have they not interacted with us?
Yeah.
That can start generating scores where we say, oh, you know what? Beatrice might be an at-risk customer. What can we do to, you know, try and retain her? And then this extends into, you know, the AI conversation that we're talking about, where in my mind, what I'd love to see is that you can have an AI assistant who really understands your financial world and can really offer you advice on a one-to-one basis, whereas before you might needed to be a high net worth person in order to get really tailored financial advice. Now you could have an AI tool that can really understand your finances and say, you know what, you probably should take this product or do that.
That's really interesting. And I love your examples because we always talk about data and the importance of data, but also the lack of data. It's data in itself. That's really good. So talking about core banking infrastructure, next generation core bank infrastructure, what are the benefits of implementing these products alongside the existing infrastructure rather than maybe a rip and replace strategy?
That's a great question. I think, first of all, if anyone comes and says, you know, there's only one way to implement core banking software, then you should probably go in a different direction, because there's definitely not one perfect approach, right? Because I think it just always comes down to the circumstances of that bank. So the traditional approach, which you mentioned, the rip and replace, is probably the majority of banks do today, which is they have a technology platform today, they want to get onto a new modern platform, they scope out the requirements of that, and they do one big project. And at a certain point, there's a cutoff, and they go from the old to the new. And you hope that everything was done properly and that goes smoothly. And, you know, that has its own benefits in terms of the time it takes to completely transform the bank. But then there's also that in between where nothing is really changing. So you might start that project and you're waiting until that big bang switchover where you go to the new platform. So more and more, what we're seeing is, and what we've been terming at Finastra, the symbiosis approach, where you can have things living next to each other and it's mutually beneficial. And that's where, using modern technologies like with Fusion Essence, you can deploy a piece of the functionality alongside the existing core. So maybe you want to open a new capability, whether it's around deposit products or lending. You don't necessarily replace everything that you have today, which is complicated, it's disruptive, but you launch that alongside of the existing ecosystem. And that way you can almost incrementally start to transform the bank and see benefit in a shorter time scale while reducing the risk of, you know, a massive project with one big switchover.
Yes, definitely sounds like you can test how things are going and just make changes on the go, especially now when technology just changes all the time, right?
Exactly, yeah, because, I mean, you'd be surprised. Sometimes you start a project with good intentions, and if that's a very long and complicated transformation project, by the time you get to the end of the project, so much time has passed that the requirements have also changed, right? Because technology's changed, the market's changed, the demands of the customers have changed. So you can see a lot of benefits, but, you know, we have customers in the region. We're working with a bank in Qatar, for example. It made sense for them to do one big bang rip and replace project. Mm-hmm. Whereas here in the UAE, we're working with other banks where they're doing this progressive approach where they may replace their teller, their branch solution first. Mm-hmm. They may implement the analytics and data solution all around the existing core, and then eventually keep introducing new components. I think it really just comes down to the specific landscape of that bank, their objectives and their priorities to really figure out what's the best approach.
Yes, for sure. Not one size fits all, I'd say, right? Especially with banking, some customers maybe are a bit afraid of change or they just want to try it out. So exactly. That's really good. So moving to a slightly different topic right now, another big buzzword is, you know, sustainability, social responsibility. So how can these products and open finance, core banking, new core banking capabilities help banks just support social initiatives also while still delivering value to the shareholders and their customers, of course?
I think for it to be sustainable, it needs to do both, right? It has to be good business and good for society at large. I think when it comes to banking and technology, what we always try to remember is that banking is a really important part of the economy, right? It touches our lives in a really meaningful way. Sometimes we can forget about that when we just talk about technology and software. But at the end of the day, we're taking the deposits of, you know, people and deploying them as loans to for people to start businesses, to buy a home. And that's really critical to the economy. And, you know, from our perspective, a big part of that is financial inclusion. In the region, in the Middle East, and especially across Africa, there's a significant number of underbanked or unbanked people. And for me, I think that technology plays a huge part of bringing more people into the fold, into the bank system. And that becomes through the innovations that are reducing the cost to deliver these services. So, you know, in the past where you had to build and maintain expensive branch networks, we've all seen the power of what digital banking and mobile banking can do to bring people into the financial services so that they can start benefiting from this. So for me, I think in terms of sustainability, fintech and the financial technology space has a huge part to play in increasing the number of people who are banked by lowering the cost, the barriers to access to these technologies, so that the benefits of finance, the benefits of what banks do, can be felt across society.
That's amazing, and definitely can't wait to see how it all helps bring value. And just changing a little bit again, let's talk now about maybe security, safety, privacy. Those are all, again, very big topics. So what are some of the key considerations that, you know, banks, financial institutions should keep in mind to ensure that their new solutions that are implementing are safe and secure?
I think this topic is really high on most CIOs' agendas in banks. You know, banks are really heavily regulated, and for good reason. And so people like to say, oh, you know, sometimes they're not as fast to move. But that's also because they have to make sure things are done properly. And people place a lot of trust in financial institutions. That's where they put their money, their life savings, and they want to know that that's being taken care of and protected. And so with change also comes new risk. You know, we talked about how transactions are now all digital or increasingly digital, which is fantastic, but it also means that, you know, things like fraud are increasing. And so it's mirroring the deployment of these new capabilities also with the tools to ensure that you're maintaining that security, whether it's, you know, anti-fraud, money laundering tools, leveraging AI to detect what could be a potentially fraudulent transaction and stopping it before it's executed. It has to go hand in hand. And I think a big part of that are the technology companies, a big part of it are the banks, and the regulation that surrounds all of this. So when it comes to things like open banking in the region here, we've seen a lot of regulation being released on how that should be governed so that we can make sure that customers' data is protected, that the way we authorize access to financial sensitive information is controlled. That's all really important, because the minute we get ahead of ourselves and create, you know, additional risks and things go wrong, then people lose trust in the system and it backfires.
Definitely. I've talked to sometimes cybersecurity experts, and it's the type of role where all eyes are on you when things go wrong, but no one really appreciates you beforehand.
Yeah, no one pays any notice until everything's gone sideways, and then you'll know about it. But it's one of those things that I think most people in this industry know that they have to invest in, especially because the pace at which new threats are being developed is only accelerating. And some will address that through specific technology solutions. Another way is more and more banks are leveraging, you know, cloud platforms from the big providers, whether it's Microsoft, AWS, Google. And these organizations spend billions of dollars every year to secure these kind of environments and leveraging that kind of investment into security.
Great. And do you see organizations in the region embracing change like quickly enough? Or do you think there still needs to be like a faster adoption?
I think there's a serious amount of change happening in the Middle East and GCC in particular. I think here the banking sector hasn't been burdened as much with legacy technology when you look at compared to Europe, where the, you know, they might have banks that have been running for 60, 70, 80 years across so many countries and so many systems. So I think here in the GCC, we've seen adoption of technology fairly quickly and the willingness to try new things. I think here in the UAE, we went through a period where so many digital-only banks were introduced to the market, real focus on user experience, not having to go into a branch, quick customer onboarding, all these things. And, you know, events like the Dubai FinTech Summit really show you how they've embraced the ecosystem and looking at fintech partners to innovate. And I think that's been a huge change and it's really been welcomed in the region.
Well, that's wonderful news. Just as a last question, looking forward the next couple of years, what are you most excited about?
So I'm excited about the ability to truly get more personalized when it comes to banking services. Mm-hmm. I think we've only scratched the surface on how we can really tailor products and services to everyday people. And I think technology now is at the point where we're really going to unlock that potential, where with modern and open core banking platforms like Fusion Essence, we're able to integrate and deploy these kind of capabilities where we're not talking about broadcasting the same message to your million customers, but really giving you, Beatrice, individual tailored advice about which kind of loan you should go for, if you need help with a mortgage product that makes sense for where you are in your life now. I think across AI and data analytics, open API and open banking, that can become a reality now. And I think in the future, it will be the norm.
I love that. It's like organizations kind of like infinite number of products, each tailored
just for you. Maybe able to launch a product that is literally just built for your particular use case. And when it's digital in this way, that becomes feasible. And I think the same way all of our other services are really tailored to us, I think there's no reason not to expect the same when it comes to banking.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us in the conversation.
Pleasure. Enjoyed
it. So great to have you. And for all our listeners, make sure you check back next week for more exciting episodes.